Think Carly's reading, John chapter 6, 60 to 71.
So as Gerald mentioned, today's Bible reading is John chapter 6, verses 60 to 71, which can be found on page 892 of the Church Bibles. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offence at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him.
It's interesting that today, Stephen and I are coming to the end of our series of sermons on John's Gospel. We decided to start in January, and we're only going to do chapter 1, and then here we are at the end of chapter 6, and 6 months or so later, and now we're going to conclude. But I only wanted to look really at one verse today, or two verses, I suppose. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I want us to think about that this morning, even though we're only going to do that briefly. What had happened was that Jesus had been preaching and teaching and feeding the 5,000, and he was a remarkably popular figure. And increasingly he was attracting the attention of the crowd who came to hear him, but it seems in John's Gospel especially, they came to witness his miracles. And in John 6, you have these people coming to, right at the beginning of John 6, and it's a long chapter, as you would know, but at the beginning of John 6, they had followed Jesus into a pretty isolated area, and then there was great concern about how they were going to be fed. You know, they travelled the day to get there, perhaps by boat, perhaps walking. And Jesus did that amazing miracle of turning a few loaves and fish into a feast, and all those people were fed. But then the disciples left that night in a boat. Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray and be near his Father. But in the morning, people were wondering, where's Jesus? And then they They started to go all crisscross the lake looking for Jesus. Where is he? And when they eventually found Jesus, they asked, you know, where did you go? When did you leave? And Jesus then challenged them with the words that you're only following me because you want something else to eat, some more to eat. And they were after a Moses figure in the Old Testament, Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. God provided through Moses manna, which they could turn into bread and all kinds of things to eat. They wanted that kind of figure for themselves. They wanted another Moses figure, someone that would liberate them as well from the Romans who occupied Israel at the time. Moses fed them manna from heaven, so to speak. Moses liberated them from Egypt, and they were looking to Jesus to be just like Moses. More food. Liberate us from the Romans, and they wanted to follow him for that reason. But then Jesus taught them, I am the bread of life. It all started to get too hard. They knew what they wanted. They wanted a particular Jesus, a Jesus who provided dole, food, a free meal, and someone who would be a victorious general and get rid of the Romans. That's who they wanted. They didn't actually want the Jesus of John's gospel who would reconcile them to his Father. They didn't want that Jesus. And so at the beginning of chapter 6, you've got 5,000 and then not women and children included in the number, so maybe way more. But at the end of John's gospel, they all go, this teaching's too hard. And they left. And then you get this poignant moment. So poignant that it just sits in your head. Jesus turns around to the disciples and says to them, are you going to leave too? Are you going to leave too? And Peter is always the first to speak, right? Says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. If I could get all those girls, I won't do this, of course, up on the stage and say, do you want to leave too? I mean, they've just done their profession of faith. You'd expect no. But I'd want them to say, to me, to whom else would we go? You alone, Jesus alone, has the words of eternal life. And Lord willing, as you read this chapter into its future, just remember those words. What a fantastic profession of faith by Peter that day. The crowds that followed Jesus wanted a victorious general. They wanted someone to provide them with food. Peter recognised in Jesus someone far more spectacular. Peter said, for you, the Holy One of God. You are different. You are special. You alone have the words of eternal life. And in fact, Jesus brings God's life-giving words to us. And he reveals that he is the bread of life and that we need to feed on him and to live for him. And in doing so, that we'll be right with God. Christians have always recognized this truth, that in every human being there's a God-shaped vacuum, a hole like a lifesaver in the middle of you, the middle of your soul. And human beings who do not know Jesus try to fill that hole with everything. It could be sport, could be a career, could be more things. It could be a philosophy of sorts. It could be any kind of morality. And they think, this will make me happy. Some people like to follow a person, a guru. This person will make me happy if I follow his teaching. But what Jesus is saying and what we all acknowledge as Christians is that the only one that can fill that hole in our lives is the Lord Jesus himself. He alone offers us a fellowship. He offers us fellowship with his Father in heaven, something that we've longed for as human beings. He alone offers us freedom from sin and the removal of our guilt. Jesus alone does that. Jesus alone can fill that vacuum in our lives because he is the Holy One of God. If you read John 6, and you would know that for those who have been here, people have been asking the question, who is Jesus? That's what John's Gospel's all about. Who's Jesus? And then Peter, at the end of John 6, says, oh, this is who Jesus is. He's the Holy One of God. He's the Son of God. He's God himself. And then Peter just simply collapses and says, to whom else would I go? Where would you go? For life now, eternal significance, a relationship that never ends, freedom from guilt, freedom from sin. Where else can you go? Who's going to give you all that? Who's going to walk with you on those long roads, those dark nights? Through disappointments, who's going to walk with you? It's only Jesus Christ that will do that for you. Profession of faith is a wonderful thing. There's some terrific professions of faith in the Bible. But this is a spectacular one, I think. To whom else would you go? Jesus says, are you going to leave as well? Lord, to whom shall I go? Where will you go? People have just filled up the world with all ideas. Most of them just turn out pretty bitter at the end of the day. Disappointments. Christian faith has gone for 2,000 years and people still acknowledge Jesus as Lord as they did today because there's nobody else for them to turn to. And they're just not naive girls who have just had it all on a platter for them, automatic. They're only young and they've gone through a lot already. And they say, Jesus alone is the one who is worth following. As I've got to know the girls over the last year and a bit, we've taken a long time, haven't we? So I'm absolutely convinced of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know they're going to go through lots of struggles, but I hope they continue to turn to the one who brings the Word of God to them, who is the Word of God. And when their prayer life goes belly up, and when their devotional reading goes a bit slack, and when life is too stressful, I know they'll eventually go back to him, because nothing is as important as being in a relationship with Jesus. Amen.